Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong. With Drolo and Dibs, turn the game on. Pump up the volume, it's time to play ball. With Drolo and Dibs, turn the game on.
Happy holidays, boys and girls. Welcome to Drolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game, but with a bit of a twist. Dibs is out. He's in Vegas enjoying the madness. We wish him the best of luck. Jim Cosimore in his place, as the 2019 tournament is set to get underway. Let's come right out of the gate. UC Irvine plus 4.5. There you go. Boom, lock it up.
Really?
Any sound effects anyone wants to
really?
Play, just lock it up.
You're going that early with that.
Yeah, I like to start the show in a big way. There are other radio programs that like to, hey, how are you? How you feeling? Hey, did you see the match last night?
No.
I'm going to come right out. I'd be the guy
Why?
In the Western, old Western, the draw. Say when. No, not say when. You're already dead because I didn't follow the rules. I pulled my gun out and I put you down.
Wow.
That's how it'd be. Doc Holliday, Johnny Ringo, that sort of thing.
Boom.
Ringo would have been walking around in the woods. I would have just, I don't have time for this.
That's an early
antidote
call.
I got UC Irvine plus the points. I got to get in front of the TV.
Yeah.
That game's tomorrow, I believe, too. I'm just coming right out of the gate, just firing.
Yeah, you're firing tomorrow's games. You got to fire me some today's games.
I wanted to give you the best one first.
All right,
I wanted to come out of the gate
that's
hot.
That's fair.
And a round of applause, if we have it, for Lorenzo Neal yesterday. People laughed at Lorenzo Neal, like they do probably every day.
Yeah.
But he told you the Philadelphia 76ers would cover the spread
and win
against the Boston Celtics. And sure enough, you're probably sweating bullets. We can go louder than that. You can go ahead and give him a big one. I mean,
wow,
it's not
Steven.
An Oscar nod or
wow,
anything like
Steven.
That, but
wow,
it's still
Steven.
Nice. Still nice. And with your back against the ropes.
Yeah.
Man against the world.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone riding the Celtic momentum.
Everyone. The line comes down. Philly, you know.
Old James Buckets
oh, yeah.
late in the game. James
oh, yeah.
Buckets comes through with the dagger, and that's that. And that kind of leads us into today's conversation. Now, first and foremost, Cam Inman on the Niners in an hour. Greg Papa at 8:30. Monty Poole at 9:35. And today and tomorrow at 8:45, we have Black Keys tickets to give away.
Ooh.
They will be playing Chase Center next November. That was announced earlier this week. We're giving away two pairs of Black Keys tickets. I can't even say that. Two pairs of Black Keys tickets. 8:45 today, 8:45 tomorrow. Sixers, Celtics, that was one big game from last night. The other went to overtime in Oklahoma City as the Toronto Raptors defeat the Oklahoma City Thunder 123-114. Now you may be saying, why are we starting with this? Why aren't we starting with tonight's Pacers game? Patience. We're going to get to the Pacers game. But last night's Raptors win over OKC caused havoc amongst the Western Conference. As it stands today, Coz,
yes.
The Warriors and the Thunder would be meeting in the opening round. The Thunder have now plummeted all the way to the 8th seed. The Warriors in first, half game up on Denver. The Rockets in third. The Warriors are 4 games up on them. And then from Houston at 3 all the way to Oklahoma City at 8, it's just 3 games separating the group, and OKC this morning is the 8 seed, Coz.
That's incredible.
Long
when
jam.
You think of the fall from Oklahoma City, and you'd say, you know, typically I think, Lowe, you'd say, you don't want the Warriors to have to take on the Thunder. The Thunder could pose a little bit of a problem. But with the way they're falling like a rock right now, I'm not as worried about playing Oklahoma City if I'm the Warriors in the first round. I'm not worried about getting extended. Yesterday we were talking about how many losses they'll get before they get to the finals. Typically I'd be a little nervous about the Thunder, but because they're playing so poorly, not an issue.
I'm with you there. I'd rather see them than L.A. The Clips show.
Really?
The Clips show can run, and they can get it going, and they're playing with that heart and vigor.
They play hard.
They play hard all the time. All the time.
Also, you didn't mean heart and vinegar. I know what you meant.
Vigor.
And that's okay.
A vigor. Harden, you know, but anywho.
Whiz and vinegar?
Yeah,
that's the one. That's a famous one of his. It's a good
exactly.
one.
Exactly. I just throw a little, you know, a little low bonics there. But yeah, it's interesting, though, about how the grade had fallen. You look at OKC, a team that you think, okay, got some superstars on it. And it just seems like the tide has changed there. Now it's no longer Westbrook's team. It seems like it's Paul George's team. Just doesn't seem like they're just a great team. So Golden State, I think they're fine.
Thunder have dropped 4 straight. They are 4-10 over their last 14, and if you've been betting against them, you're probably rich and not listening to this. You're probably on your yacht in Monaco right now, just cruising around the bay, getting ready to enjoy some really nice weather, assuming, of course, the weather is nice over there. I don't know what the weather's like in the Mediterranean this time of year, but I will say Oklahoma City has failed to cover the point spread in 13 of their last 16. Tremendously overvalued, and they're a team that is not making plays down the stretch. I like that it's an opening round matchup. Coach, you talked about this yesterday. You said, you know what? Rather than just enter the playoffs like in previous years and sweep Portland or sweep the Spurs or sweep New Orleans like they did that first year, give them someone that's going to test them a little bit. Give them someone that's going to get them to wake up a little bit. This would be the perfect opponent. It probably goes at least 5. Maybe it goes 6. You know Russ and Paul are going to find a way to make some plays in some crucial spots to avoid the sweep. And that could be the wake-up call you're talking about to energize the team through the postseason.
Yeah, I like there to be a little shock factor. I don't want you just rolling teams over because I do think there's you do get a little overconfident and soft. I would like to see them get rocked just a little bit. I would have loved to have seen it in the finals last year to see Cleveland win game one just to shock everyone awake. I think the Thunder, though, the way they're playing, Joe, they're not scaring me. When you start to fall at this time of year, you know, we were talking about the Spurs yesterday and how Pop gets them ready at the end of the year. I know they lost last night in Miami, but they had won 9 straight prior to that. They're still playing good basketball.
That's another one Lowe called, by the way. I got to give him credit for that. He did. Yeah, you
got. And you're on fire.
Lowe was hot yesterday. We went through the whole card and pretty much everything he called out ended
called
up playing.
I called the Magic, too, yesterday.
Did you parlay it and then lose in the fourth game?
That's right.
Did you parlay and lose the final game?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, you lost me. Tie them all together and then double it up.
The final game got me.
Seriously?
Portland.
Did you fall asleep and wake up thinking I'm gonna be in the money?
Woke up at 11:30, see what happened, and I saw Portland lost. Didn't cover. Portland was
they
the
won
only
by
one.
8, so that must have been a large spread.
9.
There's 9.
Yeah.
Oh. Did you bet every single game last night?
No. Everyone.
Be honest. Everyone. Hey, which one did you not bet?
I don't. Oh, you know what?
The Bulls and the Wizards.
Yeah, Bulls and Wizards.
That was overtime. A little overtime. Can you help me with one thing? Because I'm not skilled in gambling. When someone says, "What's the best value?" You know, to me, you want to pick the best. You want to pick a winner. If they're 2-1, it doesn't matter. You win. What does that mean when they say, "What's the best value of a game?"
All right. So if you can get your nut butter?
Yeah.
What's your nut butter cost? Where do you get your nut butter?
I get my nut butter at Costco, and this size cost me about $12, $13.
Now, if you got that size at, say, Whole Foods, what would that cost?
That size would probably be closer to 20 at Whole Foods.
Okay, so there's value. Think of the point spread. Think of the team as the product, and think of the point spread as the price, right? What should the price be, and what is the price? For example, if you want value, and no one's going to want to do this, you bet and pick against Duke in the NCAA tournament. Duke is wildly overvalued. The bookmakers know that everyone loves Zion Williamson, everyone loves this team, and that they're going to want to bet him. 50% of all pools are going to have Duke winning it. Yeah, I was talking to a guy, Brad Evans, our friend, who works at Yahoo.
Yep.
He
Brad.
Said the
Love
early
Brad.
Returns Brad. At Yahoo, they're giving away $1 million, not for a perfect bracket, just for the best bracket. Someone's actually going to win their $1 million. He's telling me about this. So this is an awesome contest. And we're going through all the details, and he's telling me how the early returns he's seeing, 50% of all brackets are on Duke. Now, if that's what everyone is thinking, is that how Vegas was built? No. The bookmakers know this, so they add a point and a half, add 2 points to the spread. That's value. That does not mean you will win by betting against them, but it does mean you will be in a better position. You will be getting your nut butter at a much better Costco-like price.
All right, I think I'm following that because I've always been taught when it comes to gambling, I use horse racing as an example. There are 9 races in a day. The smartest gamblers of the day walk in, take a look at the sheet. They pick the one best race of the day, put their $100 down on the one, and then they walk out. They don't bet $10 for 9 races or whatever the math would end up being. Let's say you have $90. They don't do that because you're not going to win 9 times. It's too difficult. You take all 9 races, you look at the one favorite. If it's 2-1, it doesn't matter. Throw your $100 on the 2-1 and you walk away with your $200. That's how I've been taught to bet. Not the best value part of it. So I'm still trying to learn.
That's all right. That's more efficiency.
Okay.
That's some guys are very big into high volume action. Some guys will make bet after bet after bet after bet as long as they have a number. Other guys will do what you're doing.
Right.
Narrow it down, find what they like, really hammer it home.
Yeah.
Really try to drive home the price on one specific
right.
game. It's just a matter of styles, different styles. The Warriors like to shoot the 3 and Phoenix likes to lose. That's their style. The Knicks, their style is to go out there and lose games. They got boated last night. Yeah. You see the old Knicks last night?
Wow.
They were in there for a minute and then lost by 21. But
yeah.
That's neither here nor there. Warriors-Pacers tonight. The Warriors return home. Only 7 regular season home games left in the history of Oracle. Even though Dibs is in Vegas, he was kind enough to record moment number 7 in his top 10 moments at Oracle Arena. We are going to play that for you at 8:45. It's going to be Papa at 8:30, Black Keys tickets to give away at 8:45, followed by a message from Dibs. Pacers preview, plus some very interesting comments made about your Warriors yesterday. Max Kellerman was popping off. Stack Jack had something to say as well that you're not going to want to miss. All that's coming up next. Joe Lowe, Steve, Jim Coase, and more here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors, Pacers, tonight at Oracle. We'll have all the action right here on 95.7 The Game. Just 7 regular season games to go in the history of Oracle Arena. 8:45, even though he's in Vegas, Dibs recorded a touching moment number 7 in the countdown of the top 10 moments of all time. So we'll talk with Greg Pop at 8:30. We'll give away Black Keys tickets right after that around 8:45, and then you'll hear from Dibs. Shout out Ichiro. The A's and the Mariners are in extra innings over in Tokyo. The score is 4-4, but Ichiro was yanked after grounding out in the 8th. Grounded out, took the field. They did the big removal, standing ovation, people crying left and right. A seemingly 49-year MLB career has come to an end. Shout out Ichiro. But you know what? Maybe got a little trigger happy there, pulling him out of that game. He could have had another at bat.
I know.
Seattle, we're in the 11th here.
How do you not love Ichiro? Is he the greatest number 51 in Mariners history?
Gotta be, right?
Are there lots of number 51s in Mariners history?
The other one's Randy Johnson.
Oh, really? The unit?
Yeah. That's why the discussion's pretty hot.
Did they really have to have the same number?
I know, crazy, right?
99 numbers to play from, probably 100 if you want to use double zero.
The big unit was, come on. No. Ichiro had he's having a longer career. But if you're talking about the big unit, big Randy, 6'6". No, come on.
Ichiro changed the game. He changed the game in Japan and in America.
How?
His speed, the leadoff, he took the leadoff position to a new level. Ricky's the greatest of all time.
Not even close. Exactly.
Come on.
Ricky and Helms, not even close.
I did not see you being this passionate about Randy Johnson as the greatest number 51 in Mariners history.
On, Randy,
I will say I'm surprised, but I'm excited as well.
Randy hit a bird how fast that Joker could throw. I mean, Randy,
I remember that. That was funny.
That was against Kyler Murray's dad. Did you know that?
No!
Kyler Murray's dad was at
the
plate.
Shut the front door?
Yeah. Yeah.
Truly?
Yes.
I did not know that.
That's the big famous thing that's out there right now.
Hey, Coase. See, that's how you do stories.
Wow.
Instead of Route 66 and I got a hamburger. Nice job again, Joe. Hi, Steven. Welcome to the show.
Steven's got his own thing going on.
I was on one today.
Playing Fortnite.
Right, playing Fortnite.
You don't talk bad about Ichiro and expect me to do anything
good
for
call.
You. He's one of the best of all time, man.
You're not
come
even
on.
That's a relatively fair assessment there. People love Ichiro. They were all watching him this morning.
Mm-hmm.
They were all watching him at the TV this morning. All of them.
Now,
that last at-bat was big. It even got me out of my seat.
No, worldwide in Japan and all that. Yeah, he's bigger than Randy. But if you're talking about Randy, I mean, Randy would glare you down, stare at you, and dare you to say something. His face, his look, Randy would just...
He's an ugly son of a gun.
Yeah, thank you.
He's an ugly son of a gun. I'll tell you that much right now.
Ugly. I was scared of Randy.
Didn't he live in Pleasanton? He lives in Pleasanton.
Livermore. He was from...
Livermore?
He might live in Pleasanton now. He was from Livermore.
Get him on the show, Anna. That's what I would love you. That's your next job.
You should do a game.
I love you.
MLB baseball player or member of Sons of Anarchy. And you throw Randy Johnson up there. I'd be like, that's Sam Crow.
Yes!
I know Sam Crow when I see Sam Crow. That's Sam Crow. And then you throw up Jeter and you're like, that's Major League Baseball. Come on now. He's too pretty. Too pretty. Alex Rodriguez, too pretty.
Too pretty.
All right, speaking of pretty, so tonight, what are we expecting? The Warriors are an 11-point favorite over Indiana. Indiana's had some fire. Even after losing Victor Oladipo, they've played some quality basketball. Shout out Nate McMillan, the head coach of the Pacers. He's done a tremendous job this season. But here's the problem for the Pacers. They are not good on the road. They have lost 3 straight overall. They're 4-8 over their last 12. But on the road, 0-7 in their last 7 road games, 1-6 against the spread, and in those 7 games, they are losing by an average of 9 points per game. So they're not just getting beat on the road, Coase. They're getting beat bad. This should be a nice situation for the Warriors off the road trip. Come out early, do what you do, hang on late, find a way to keep some distance between you and the Nuggets.
I agree. And you want to, again, if you're the Warriors, you're worried about honing your machine. You want to oil that thing up so that you're ready to roll. Indiana's going to be a good test. Listen, this is a club that is far exceeding what they should be doing. When you lost Oladipo, you were supposed to start falling again in the Eastern Conference. Instead, Nate McMillan, who I think should get Coach of the Year votes, Nate McMillan's kept this team right on par. They might be running out of gas as the season goes on, but I still like him, and I don't think they're just going to throw sneakers on the floor tonight and the Warriors are going to roll them. I think it's a nice test for the Warriors to get themselves in line as they march toward the start of their real season, which is the middle of April.
I don't see this game being as difficult as you guys might look at it. I do believe that this team has overachieved, losing their number one guy too much. This is a team that can't play with the Warriors, Joe. They don't have the firepower. They don't have the foot speed. This is going to be a track meet. And I really believe, yeah, you saw them fight and find a way to beat Sacramento the other night in the game that they were losing, came back to find a way to win that game. I just don't see them hanging. I don't see this game. I see the Warriors. I'm surprised it's that high. And I wouldn't touch this, but I think the Warriors cover this tonight. 11. I just think that they're going to
really?
Put the
See, the question we usually have to ask here isn't so much about the opponent. It's what Warrior team do
shows
we get?
Up.
Do you see them focused coming out of the gates in the first quarter?
You got Boogie coming back. This is a night that he returns. You got Bogut. They're already moving the ball and stuff. They're starting to get their stride. KD's going to play well. Steph's going to play well. They're at home, and I think you're going to start seeing their better performance. I think they're tuning up mindset. You're only, like you said, 11 games left. I mean, at home, you're on the tail end of this thing. I just look at Indiana. Yeah, they had a night rest. The Warriors had some time to rest, too. These are two. There's one great team, and there's just an average team. And, yes, this team, you guys got to admit, Indiana Pacers have overachieved. They're in this thing. They're fighting to get. They're going to be in the playoffs. They're number 44 wins. They're number 4 seed. I do not think they have enough firepower to really hang with the Warriors. I understand what we're talking about. Which Warrior team's going to show up? I just think as a unit, I think the Warriors are going to be too much tonight.
You know
really
what?
Do.
And I don't want to get too granular, but as you have 2.5, 3 weeks left in the regular season, and you said you've got Bogut and Boogie, I want to see what Kerr's. What he does, how he uses those guys, against what types of teams they're playing. Because they might play different styles. If you've got to play Steven Adams in the first round, what's better? Is it Bogut to slug?
Oh, my God, Bogut versus Adams?
Exactly, right? That's going to be a heavyweight
like
matchup.
Like Drago versus Drago.
You know,
if you could clone Drago and have him fight himself.
But if you're playing a team like Houston, is Boogie a better call because you got to run a little? Well, can he run with Clint Capella? I want to see how he uses the big guys now that he's got them both at his disposal starting tonight.
I saw Clint Capella get his lunch meat taken.
The last time they got together? That was not a game for Clint Capella.
No,
that was a game for stars.
Right, and just if you watch him play, even the other night when he played, they took him out in the deep water.
They lost to Memphis last night. Are you talking about that?
Yeah, Memphis was beating him up a little bit down there. The big fella was turning around, hitting jumpers on him. Couldn't stay with the big fella. So at times, he's a good rebounder. But just a physical part of the game, I don't like Clinton's physical part of the game.
Let me throw something at you. Today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. It'll be up on the website in just a moment, 957thegame.com. Which team will win the Eastern Conference? As we try to sort through playoff seeding now that Oklahoma City has fallen to the 8 seed and is scheduled for an opening round matchup with the Warriors, which team will win the Eastern Conference? 4 options. The Bucks, the Raptors, the Sixers, and the Celtics. Main reason I ask, Toronto went into OKC last night, controlled the game until the fourth. The Raptors went away from Siakam. It cost them. Game went to overtime. Went back to Siakam. He delivered when it mattered most. Raptors win that game in OKC. Very fun overtime game. Meanwhile, the Sixers come storming back in Philadelphia to beat the Celtics for the first time seemingly since Dr. J in the early 80s. So the situation you have is as follows. Those three plus the Bucks, who just found out Mirotić is going to be out 2 to 4 weeks with, I believe, a fracture in the thumb. And that's to go on top of the fact that, and now I'm blanking on Brogdon, who's going to be out with the plantar fascia until the second round. Who's coming out of the Eastern Conference as it stands today?
Boy, you know what? I think the Bucks are a fun, sexy pick, but because they're hitting some bumps in the road right now, they could be vulnerable. In fact, with as many games as there are left in the NBA season, which I think is going to be around the 10 to 12 game mark, Raptors could even catch him for the top spot in the Eastern Conference in the regular season. You get that and you get home court throughout the playoffs in the East, which I think could be essential with as good as those 4 teams are that you mentioned. Listen, I like the Raptors. I still like the Raptors, and I think they're the best team. I thought it was a gutsy move to go out and add Marc Gasol, even though they were still winning. And Gasol's numbers have been really pedestrian. I'm sticking with my Toronto Raptors right now.
You know what? I had the Raptors earlier this year, and I'd start to watch Philly, and I changed. I changed horses. But I Toronto and Philly, those it's a two. In my opinion, those one of those teams are coming out. I'm going to tell you right now, Milwaukee is going to be in a dogfight. If I'm Milwaukee, I want the number two seed. If I'm Milwaukee Bucks, I want the number two seed. I don't want any parts
of
the
game. Are you running from someone?
Yes. You're crazy if you're not watching Miami Heat.
All right, let that marinate a bit because I want to get back into that as well. There's a lot to break down today, a lot to break down. We didn't even get to Kellerman's comments on the future of the Warriors. I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about that because we're going to play them for you, we're going to dissect, and then we're going to want to hear from you.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
I don't know the character's name or his name in real life, but anytime Bobby Axelrod in the Showtime smash hit Billions runs into some sort of trouble, he goes to his lawyer. He's got this great lawyer on retainer. The guy played a role in Boardwalk Empire as well. Point being that every time something comes up, Ax goes to this guy. This guy's got to come in. He's got to clean up the mess. He's got to set the situation straight. It's good to have a guy like that in your corner. That's who we are for the Warriors, because there are going to be national media members. There are going to be people all over the place who like to take their shots at this team, who like to give analysis about tearing it all down, what they do wrong, how they've hurt the NBA, all that garbage. So we are Axelrod's lawyer. The Warriors, obviously, Bobby Axelrod, we are the lawyer. And we've got a lot of audio we got to break down today because apparently yesterday was just pop off about the Warriors day. Let's start with Max Kellerman, ESPN's First Take.
That is the dynasty we're talking about. You're winning the championship every year unless there's a monster upset. That's four straight years. They lose KD. They won't be the best team in basketball next year. They'll still have the nucleus of a great team. They still may win another championship with this team. But they ain't the reigning and defending every year, why even play the season team anymore. That's not going to be them. And if you think it's so easy to replace Kevin Durant, you're paying Draymond, you're paying Steph, you're going to pay Clay, right? Who are you going to get to replace Draymond, KD? What are the assets that you're going to use to bring in another superstar? You don't have the money because there's a salary cap. What are you going to do? That's the end of the Warriors as we now know them. Yes, the Splash Brothers will be there, Draymond maybe, and all that stuff. They'll be a great team, but they ain't the reign of terror is over if KD leaves. It's over.
Couple ways to slice that. Number one, if KD leaves, it's not the team as we know them now. Yeah, that's obvious. That's obvious, Max. We know that. We know that they wouldn't be the team we know them as now because one of the best players in the game would be leaving them. I think the point he's trying to get at, though, is if Durant leaves, they're not the favorites. They're not the team that's feared. What we know is probably done. Do you agree with that? Because it's all going to depend on where Durant goes. But I can see scenarios with all these free agents moving about the country, picking new teams where the Warriors still have Steph, they still have Clay, they still have KD, or excuse me, Steph, Clay, and Draymond. And then they got a bunch of money to go out and bring in a couple other guys. And when all said and done, they could still be the favorite in Vegas to win the title next year.
Joe, there are a couple of things here. One, in the course of Max's shout, he also said they could still win a championship next year. He's a jackwagon. Listen, I'm just going to use what Joe Lacob said.
Jackwagon, I love that.
I mean, I'm just sick of it. Just because you yell it doesn't mean it's so. Joe Lacob said, we're going to have superstars. It might not be these superstars, but we're going to have superstars. He said it on this station, for crying out loud. So even if Kevin Durant decides to leave, that's fantastic for Kevin Durant, and we should appreciate what he was when he's here. But who in their right mind thinks that the Warriors right now are sitting there without a backup plan, without a direction? Hey, backup plan number one is sign the guy. They're going to go all out to sign the guy. But if they can't, do you think they're going to be sitting there with an empty holster saying, oh my gosh, what do we do now? Guys,
it's over.
Yeah, it's over. It's all done. Hey, they won a championship.
Boy.
What did they do when they won the first championship?
Yes.
When they won their first championship, what did they do? Harrison Barnes is out the door. They won a championship and changed things. Come on. Let's not think that this team doesn't have something else. I'm sick of guys yelling at me about the Golden State Warriors. Shut your yapper.
I don't think this team in my – wow, Coles, you were hard right there.
I know, I was.
You went hard to paint. For me, it's simple. I don't think this team needs another superstar to win another title, even if KD leaves. I think the biggest thing for them is like a guy – I wish he could shoot free throws, Joe. DeAndre Jordan. I keep saying that. I've been telling you guys for years. This team, you go get me a guy that can play defense in the middle and a guy that can dominate the rebound and just run.
He's going to Sacramento.
Is he? But if you, I'm just saying, if you had a guy like that, I don't need a score. I need a guy that can dominate the boards, be a rim protector, and run the floor.
Let me ask you this.
And with Steph,
yeah.
And with the Splash Brothers and bringing in a couple other guys, that you're still a dominant team because now you're going to be giving those guys more shots, giving those guys more opportunity. So if you can get a dominant defenders shooting, you're fine.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, please do.
I mentioned Harrison Barnes. They win a championship, then he goes and leaves, right? He decides not to take the extension. He goes somewhere else and makes even more money. He can opt out this year. Let's say Kevin Durant leaves. And Harrison Barnes says, you know what? I want to go back to where I started it all. So I'll go back to Golden State. Do you think the Warriors could win a championship with Harrison Barnes? He's not Kevin Durant, but he's going to be less money. I'm just posing the question. That's how good the Warriors are. If you plug in Harrison Barnes into the Kevin Durant spot with everything else they have around it, I still think they're a dang good club that's championship worthy. That's just the way I see it.
Take a look at the marquee free agents, because to answer part of this question, we need to figure out how the rest of the landscape is going to look. The assumption here would be that Durant leaves. As Kellerman says, he leaves. That's the end of the Warriors as we know him. Where would Durant go? If he teams up with James in L.A., fine. I don't know if anyone's getting past that. But if that doesn't happen and he goes to, say, the Knicks, and he teams up with Kyrie Irving there, and they get Zion Williamson, that's fun. That's exciting. I don't know if in year one you can automatically take over the East. Remember, Embiid and Simmons aren't going anywhere in Philly, and the Sixers want to bring back both Butler and Tobias Harris. They're going to bring back at least one of them. The Sixers are still going to be good. The Celtics will still find a way to be good. The Bucks will still be good. So you can improve the Knicks with Durant, Irving, and Zion, but it's to assume it's immediately going to be something that overtakes the East. The East still has some quality teams that have spent years gelling together. Kawhi Leonard, he goes to the Clippers. Good team right now. He lands there, he makes them better. I don't know if they're better than Golden State. Klay Thompson re-signs would be the assumption. Tobias Harris, I already mentioned, probably ends up back with Philadelphia. That's it. Those are your marquee free agents. Al Horford can opt out, but it's a $30 million opt-out. I mean, he could just stay for one more year and get 30. But if he leaves, it's because he's going to want one more big long-term deal. Who knows where he goes? That's it. So if Kawhi ends up with the Clippers, Durant and Irving go to the Knicks, I mean, I would worry about Houston. I think Houston has done a nice job closing the gap on the Warriors. What are you going to add to make sure Houston stays at bay? I still think Vegas installs you as the favorite.
Boy, but if you're Houston, you've spent so much money on the guys you have right now between Capella, Harden, and Paul. You don't have a lot of wiggle room to add a significant enough piece. They're really good at finding the complementary piece who can step beyond the arc and spread the floor and let Harden do what Harden does. I agree because I think they're creative. I think Daryl Morey is about as creative a general manager. He might be able, you could put him in the category for GM of the year every year because he's able to work his team to a point where they can get in the discussion for a conference final, but he hasn't been able to get over the hump. I just don't know if they got the wiggle room, Joe, to add that extra piece in the offseason. But again, they're extremely creative.
If you dilute the talent like we're laying out, though, you're still going to be in relatively good shape. I don't see you getting a one seed. I think the regular season would once again become a grind for you. You might end up as a three, possibly a four. Some teams are going to get better, and the playoff run's going to be difficult. But I would still see if Kawhi ends up with the Clippers, if Durant and Irving go to the Knicks, and, I don't know, Tobias Harris stays with the Sixers, by and large, if I'm Vegas, I'm probably still sending the Warriors out as the favorite if they win this year.
Yeah, and for me, it's what besides Durant? Durant's been great here. And the fans, like you said, Joe, don't burn a jersey. This guy brought you championships. He's been MVP.
I better not burn a jersey.
Policy, there will be no jersey
exactly.
Burning.
Okay, good. KD's been unbelievable. But for me, it's about the others. Where's a Grant Hill? Not Grant Hill, but George Hill.
Grant Hill.
Yeah, we can bring him out of retirement. But think about it, George Hill. Go get some guys. My biggest concern is replacing the guys like Andre Iguodala.
Yeah.
You need to go get some defensive stoppers. Go get a guy, another rim protector. Go get those other
some heart and soul.
Yeah.
Need to bring in a little heart and soul.
That's what this team should concentrate on. Instead of saying, God, we got to go get another superstar, by golly, go get some better defender players.
All right, good stuff. The Niners have had a couple big meetings as of late, but there's a meeting they said they're not taking, which should draw your attention.
Ooh.
That plus NFC West grades for free agency, we've got to get to all of it. That scorching hot tease brought to you by our friends at Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
It's the baseball game that wouldn't die. The Mariners and A's started this game, I think, today in America time, but yesterday in Japan time, or possibly tomorrow in Japan time. I can't keep track of all of this.
It's the future.
Yeah,
it
this
is
game
Friday.
Could be. We could be looking into the future, so someone call my bookie, and let's see what happens with Rodney here.
Good call.
But we are in the top of the 12th. Runners on first and second. One out. 2-1 count. Rodney with runners on first and second. I'm not exactly a play-by-play guy. This is going to go on forever. This is baseball. Now I got to fill time here in between pitches. Joe Lowendibs, 95.7 The Game. I know exactly how to fill that time. Greg Pop at 8:30. Cam Inman in 10 minutes, and we'll talk to him about this. We're about to get into free agency grades for the NFC West. So you're going to be primed heading into the heart of draft season. But there's an interesting little nugget that surfaced yesterday. Now, John Lynch and the Niners have been out on the road, meeting with everyone, doing what they need to do. Their due diligence, as we call it around here. They went to the Ohio State Pro Day recently. Nick Bosa did not work out there. Most of the top players who had solid combines, they're good. They're going to let those numbers stand, but they're available for meetings and maybe to get measured, you know, shake some hands, do all that stuff. So the Niners went to the Ohio State Pro Day, probably checked out a couple other guys, met with Nick Bosa, took him out to lunch. They also, the day before that, went to the Alabama Pro Day, where Quinnen Williams was not working out, but they went out to dinner with him, get to know him a little bit more. Josh Allen, pass rusher from Kentucky, not working out for Friday's pro day at the University of Kentucky tomorrow. Niners not going to that. Lynch isn't going. In fact, here's the quote. I think it's good to be out for a number of reasons. The schools we visited the last couple of days, Alabama and Ohio State, I don't think they're going anywhere. They're going to be producing players, so it's good to continue to foster those relationships that we can help them and they can help us. And it's really invaluable to just spend time with these guys. Makes sense, but right before that he said, most of the top guys aren't working out, especially if they did well at the combine. But you have an opportunity to come sit with them and talk with them, i.e. Bosa, i.e. Williams. But why not Josh Allen? Why wouldn't you swing by Kentucky to meet with Josh Allen?
Joe is something that I've been saying on the show. This is a guy that I would pass on. I mean, I think that he's good. He's going to be a first rounder. Me and Dibs are going back, and he's like, oh, Josh Allen had more sacks. I watched the guy. I told you, not necessarily a bender. Thought he was a little long. I think he's, you know, I don't think that he has that. He's not as heavy in the bottom of the hips like Joey Bosa.
Meaning the ability to anchor against the run.
Absolutely.
You don't want him getting pushed around out there.
I don't think he anchors well against the run. This was a guy that I said was a pass. And I think he's more similar, in my opinion, more similar to Dee Ford, a guy who they already brought in.
A Leo.
A Leo type of backer. So he already got, you already got a guy in that. So why would you even waste your time to have two guys? Both those guys are a little light, they're a little long, and you just don't need that. That's why you're looking at the two guys that they're looking at. Quinnen Williams, this guy's a ball player. I love this guy, Coach, from Alabama. He's big, he's physical.
You're talking him up.
He's got big hands, he's got good hands. He ran a 4.8 for 315 pounds. Coach, I'm not talking him up because I'm just talking to hear myself talk by no stretch of imagination.
And he likes
that. The guy can play. I love talking, Joe.
Yeah.
But if he's using
4.8 speed, it's because he's chasing a guy downfield. I'm not as worried about that.
You should be.
He's quick twitch, Coach.
I'm all about fast twitch. That's me. Look at this.
You're talking about
in some blue sweatsuit today.
You look a hot mess, by the way.
He looks like
sexy.
He's cutting weight for his wrestling match later tonight.
It does. I'm wearing the ear cuffs, too.
Yeah. Cauliflower is horrible for wrestling. Never had it because I was always, you know, putting it on guys. But anyhow,
cauliflower if you're pinning a guy in 8 seconds.
Absolutely, Joseph.
Isolate him saying I'm pinning it on guys, but go ahead. Go ahead.
See, now he's derailed.
I know.
Now
I
he's mean, Jennifer just, Aniston.
I know.
Clive Owen. He's derailed.
Exactly. No, I was just giving you the little stare down. Anywho, but so both these two guys are good, and it's interesting, Joe, that you talk about John Lynch. John Lynch is saying, look, I'm not going to waste this young man's time. I'm not going to waste his time. I'm not going to waste mine either. So it's two guys. Apparently right now it's two guys that the Niners are looking at. It's Quentin or it's Nick Bosa. They're saying these two guys.
You think they're set? They're set. They realize whatever happens in one happens, and one of our guys is going to be there.
I mean, you've been saying, Joe, I said, put this guy, he can play inside. And at times, even when he's playing inside, if a team jumps up and takes Nicky Bosa, what's going to happen? They're going to take Quentin. And at times, you can put Quentin in the middle, and you can go ahead and put DeForest Buckner on the end and have a Ford on the other end.
Versatility.
You still have versatility.
Where's my man Arik Armstrong in this whole thing?
Now you can kick Armstead down back inside. So you got a 6'9", 6'6", outside guy.
It's a lot of meat. There is a lot of tailgate sausage on that defensive line.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm getting excited just thinking about this.
You don't even have Solomon Thomas on the group.
But that's the depth.
I mean, you've got to be able, in this day and age, the Vince Wilfork era, the Ted Washington era is over. These guys playing 60, 65 snaps on defense. You want to shuffle them in and out. You always tell Lil Low that. It's better to tap the helmet and come out than be out there as a negative on the play.
Absolutely.
It's plus plays or get to the sidelines. And you want to be able to shuffle guys in and out. We saw what the Rams did last year with Donald and Sue next to each other on the interior defensive line. If you have Buckner and Quinnen Williams next to each other, you will have Quinnen Williams for 6 years minimum at an easy price point. 4 years on the first-round rookie deal. You pick up the fifth-year option. You franchise tag in year six. Ultimately, you don't want it to get to that. If you love him, you give him the long-term deal. But Buckner's long-term deal is coming up, and financially, they're set to pay it. You could have those two playing together for 7, 8 years, anchoring the interior of the defensive line. You're done worrying about that position. You're a top-10 run defense with those two guys in there. You're probably getting after the quarterback a little bit, and that's it. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Very, very sexy. Very appealing.
Three biggest money positions in the NFL. Quarterback.
Pass rusher.
Pass rusher, wide receiver.
I mean,
you're going to pay him more. You're going to pay your tackle. I know tackles more important.
I am not paying a wide receiver what they pay wide receivers.
I'm not doing that.
It's too much money at a position you don't need to spend that much money at.
But of those three positions, you can pay two, right? So if I can get a cheap pass rusher, I can spend a little bit more on a wide receiver, right?
That's true. Yeah,
that's why
if you get a rookie quarterback like Mahomes or when Russ came out of Wisconsin,
right,
and they produce at a high level, you can spend everywhere else because you're not overpaying at quarterback.
Exactly. But if you can get a pass rusher or an anchor on your line who you're, like you said, for 6 years at an affordable price.
Yeah, very affordable.
Well, then that allows me to go out and get the kind of weapons I need in the other spots. Read the quote one more time. Can you read the quote that they say about what they think about Josh Allen? Do you have that?
Specifically on Josh Allen? This is Mayoko on NBC Sports.
They didn't say anything about Josh
Neither
Allen.
Williams nor Bosa worked out at their pro days, opting to stand on their results from the combine. Kentucky outside linebacker Josh Allen, whose pro day is Friday, will also not work out. Lynch and Peters will not attend Kentucky's
that
pro day.
That is not going.
So to me, what that tells me is Lynch and Shanahan don't think Josh Allen can play for them. That's what they're saying. They're not even going to show up. Because you would even put the ruse up just to let someone know that you're around. Maybe someone else likes that player more than you do. Maybe they can move up. They don't think he can fit what they do. Their only decision is between two guys. They're telling you, we don't think Josh Allen can play.
And here's what
they're telling you, we're not even thinking about trading back.
That's what they're telling you.
I didn't mean to steal that from you. Is that where you're going?
No, I was just going to tell you.
We're mind-melding today. Look at us.
We are.
Is that good for you?
No. It's really good.
Questionable.
It's really good.
I don't know. Now that I think about it.
How are you? I think, Coach, you have to realize what it says, though, is this. It says that the two guys, they're picking number two. So Josh Allen could be their third guy. But if you're picking one or two, one of those two guys are going to be there. So it's not that they're saying that they don't like the kid. It's not that they're saying the kid can't play. They're saying they love those two guys. And one and two, they're picking at number two. So that's one. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, let me just to stay on that thought. They love one of those two guys. Ready? Let's say all of a sudden Arizona realizes Kyler Murray ain't our guy. We're sticking with Josh Allen.
Rosen.
They take Bosa. Rosen.
Then
we get Quentin. Thank you.
That's why they're getting Quentin.
So you think that they do that, or do you think they entertain, wait a minute, maybe we do move back?
No. That's
someone else is going to salivate over Kyler Murray. Now I got to think about going back. or are you so set on Williams? It's Williams-Bosa to them. Even if they were picking number one, it's Williams-Bosa.
Absolutely.
All right.
Unless you just went.
Look, if the guy can come in, start, and be productive, please take him.
Please
don't swing and miss anymore. Let's get players in here who can stay on the field and make plays. If you identify Quinnen Williams and everyone in the room sitting there going, look, we bring this kid in, we put him next to DeForest Buckner, he's going to make plays. He's going to thrive in this system. There's no such thing as a sure thing, but I feel really good about it. Then just do it. Don't overthink the situation. Stop complicating everything and moving around and say, well, you know, we'll take the guy with the ACL. He'll be back. Just stop. Just get a guy who can play, please.
You can't.
Please.
Coach, you can't double him. Coach, if you got those two guys in the middle, one's going to be over the center, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's going to be on the guard. You can't double both of those guys. It's just impossible. So if that's the case, what does the quarterback do when he gets the seven step and then pass rushers on the outside? What is quarterback thought to do when pass rushers coming outside? What do? They step.
How much seven
up.
Step is
Channing
going
Tatum,
on in the NFL
they
right
step
now?
Up.
They thank you. Sorry you didn't know that, Coach. So it is radio. But they step up in the pocket, and now you got two guys in the middle that can get after you.
How many seven steppers you got in the game right now? It's short, drop, quick, read, throw.
They're in shotgun, Coach, and they take three steps back there already.
Hands up, Coach.
Yeah,
just sorry. Like those passes.
Sorry, Coach.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. But with a twist, Dibs is in Vegas, partying it up for the madness. Jim Cozumore is in his stead, riding with your boys Joe and Lowe for the rest of the week. Greg Papa will join us today at 8:30. Right after that, we are giving away tickets to see the Black Keys when they come to Chase Center next November. Monty Poole will join us at 9:35, but right now we turn our attention to the phones. He's our 49ers insider from the Bay Area News Group, Cam Inman, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Cam, good morning and thank you for your time. So John Lynch is out on the road. He's meeting with Quinnen Williams from Alabama. He's meeting with Nick Bosa from Ohio State, but he's not going to go to Kentucky's Pro Day to meet with Josh Allen. How should we read into that?
It's a good question, because Josh Allen is one of those top few prospects that they should be looking at. You know, the thing about these Pro Days, these top picks, these guys aren't working out, and in terms of they're not doing drills. So, you know, they're with John Lynch, Adam Peters going on the road and going to Alabama and Ohio State. They talk or go to dinner with these guys afterwards. They can evaluate the programs. I don't know if there's anything else at Kentucky that they really need to evaluate. So if they really want to get to know Josh Allen, they'll bring him in for one of their, you know, they get 30 visits. They get 30 guys to come in pre-draft. And so my guess is they'll have Josh Allen in, just as they will Quinnen Williams, just as they will Nick Bosa, probably Rashawn Gary from Michigan, and a couple other guys to really get to know them better. So we're right in the throes of these Pro Days, and if they're a little bit overrated, if guys aren't working out, you don't need to see them. We obviously are, you know, a few weeks removed from the combine where they saw these guys and talked to them as well. So just it's all part of the pre-draft process. And the beauty of it is there's 5 weeks left of it to overanalyze every move and every non-move.
Cam, a couple of years ago, they had an opportunity to take a player in the first round. They go with Solomon Thomas.
Yep.
That's a defensive lineman, and he hasn't exactly panned out. How confident should a 49er fan be that the 49ers are mulling over another defensive lineman? Didn't the last guy who ran the job keep drafting defensive linemen along the way that were swings and misses?
Well, DeForest Buckner was not a swing and miss either. He was swinging a home run.
Absolutely.
Eric Armstead's coming around, but, you know, he's on a $9 million deal, the last part of the deal, so I don't know what they're going to do with him. So, yeah, you kind of factor that in and say, well, you kind of gambled on Solomon Thomas 2 years ago. I don't think you're giving up on that yet. He had a rough year personally last year on and off the field. Do you go with a Quinnen Williams inside again? I don't think so, because I think you need more help on the edges. You got Dee Ford in. Well, let's get somebody else on the other bookend to help out and get that quarterback flush right into the throes of right into DeForest Buckner there after his 12-sack season. So I wouldn't go Quinnen Williams personally. I know a lot of people are high on him, and if that's the case, great. Somebody else can trade up and get him. I wouldn't use that high of a pick again on an interior defensive tackle. When you've invested.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.